Your SteveJonesShow.com podcast audio is loading now. Today's SteveJonesShow.com podcast audio is sponsored by Purdy Insurance, Market Street, Sunbury, and online at PurdyInsurance.com.
Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Welcome. Great to have you with us on this Monday after a scintillating and spine-tingling Super Bowl. We now get you ready for the Olympics.
3 days to Sochi.
We've been talking about that worthless exercise too often for too long, but now it's upon us and we're supposed to talk about it.
Now you have to.
Actually, no. There's a lot of great college basketball. Syracuse and Duke provided more drama than anything the Olympics will provide.
Definitely provided more drama than the football game did.
Oh, no. You know, and the odd thing is, that's not the league. That is not the league. That yesterday's game was an absolute aberration in the National Football League. Do you realize there's only one other game that was in the neighborhood of that point spread this season in the NFL?
Really?
That was
only
that Bear,
one other one.
The Bears-Eagles game. The only one that had that margin. Most games in the NFL, if you watch NFL Red Zone, okay?
Which I do a lot.
You'll notice when, what's Hansen's first name? He's really good. Is it Phil Hansen? He's the host of NFL Red Zone, smooth as silk, really a good solid broadcaster, is able to pick up as games go, get you from game to game, never makes a mistake.
He finds the guys that are making the catches and the runs without having a roster in front of him.
Right, just really good, well prepared, a guy that, you know what, I'd like to get him on the show. I think he's just really, really good to talk about the kind of pro he is. But when you watch that, if you notice the NFL now, the NFL, of course, has a Thursday game, a Sunday night game, and a Monday night game. Then the rest of the games, so that's three of the games, and the max they can have is 16 in a weekend. Okay, so now we're down to 13 games. Usually you have eight, sometimes nine games in the 1 o'clock time slot, and usually just four in the 4:25 time slot. Have you noticed that as well?
Yes, I have noticed that.
When you get to the 9 o'clock, when you get the 9 1 o'clock games, I would say that six or seven of the nine are going to the final 2 minutes. Consistently going to the final 2 minutes, and it happens all the time in there, and it really is. And he handles it beautifully. But that's the league now. The league is that close. Yesterday's game, look at the playoff games. It was one great playoff game after another.
And it is Scott Hansen, by the way. You are correct.
Scott Hansen. I think I said Phil.
No, you did. Yeah, you might have. Yeah, Scott Hansen.
Phil was a defensive tackle for the Bills. But Scott Hansen.
Not to be confused with the kicker for the Lions.
Right, but Scott Hansen is just brilliant at what he does. But you notice that six to seven of those nine games are going to the final 2 minutes. Very rarely do you get an NFL weekend on Red Zone where games aren't going down to the wire. That's the league. Look at the playoff games. Indianapolis, Kansas City, okay? You know, Denver, New England, Seattle, San Francisco, the Eagles game with the Saints. I mean, every single one of these games, close game, down to the wire, good game. I mean, that's the league right now. Yesterday was an absolute aberration. And I know, and I don't know if I told you this off the air or not. I know I told somebody else about this. After going to Media Day, it was my sense that the Seahawks had a nice, loose, quiet confidence about themselves while the Broncos were business and tight. Don't know why.
Well, that first snap, I don't care what anybody says, and I think Peyton Manning did say
that was the noise.
I was amazed by that.
Excuse me.
I know, and I know you said that.
I tried to tell you this on Friday. You wouldn't listen to me.
I know you said that, but I did not think that it would still be that noisy in that stadium with it being a Super Bowl. I have to admit, and you remember for the last 2 weeks I've been saying this, that this game is not a fans game anymore. Well, I'll tell you what, that was more of a fans game than I think maybe even Super Bowl 40 was in Detroit, which was packed with terrible towels that year. I mean, there were a lot of Seahawks fans in there making a lot of noise.
Okay. Right.
I mean, I didn't think it would be near that noisy, and I didn't think there'd be that many fans of either team, for that matter, in the stands.
Right. Well, again, that's why we had, and I know you can't stand when we have him on, despite tremendous audience approval. When we have Tony Knopp of Spotlight Ticket Management on.
It's not right? True. I like Tony. I just don't like what he has to say a lot of times.
You just don't like the fact that it takes away the fantasy, all right? The fantasy goes by the boards, all right? But we talked about ticket distribution. And what happens with all the other teams, those fans bought up tickets from the other teams. And you got 2 weeks to do it. And the Seattle fans were all over that stadium. Look, they finally got there. Not only that, they finally got there with a team they thought was going to win.
They're not getting home that easy, but yeah, that's a different story.
Yeah. Well, you know, it's odd. What a difference 24 hours makes.
Yeah, exactly. I'm wondering, though, talking about the weather briefly, I'm wondering if this will change the way the NFL looks at the outdoor at the northern outdoor game for the Super Bowl or a northern city. Because they really got some decent, I mean, really good, really good weather. Not decent,
yeah,
really good weather.
But today drives home the fact that how lucky they got with it.
That's
because
also
New York has a winter storm warning right now. So if this had been 24 hours earlier, if that thing had, you know, and again, I want to go into meteorology.
You and me both.
I mean, when you get into this business and you make a mistake, a factual mistake, it doesn't take long for a tweet, Facebook message, text message, you know, or somebody posting online, ah, I got that wrong, wrong. Weather guy. It's Mother Nature. I didn't know the hurricane was moving up 100 miles north. I'm sorry.
The European model said it would do this.
I can show you right here in the model. It's all good. This storm wasn't predicted, the one we're having today.
No, I don't think so.
I got 3 and 3/4 inches of snow in my driveway. But some guy told me it's going to be partly cloudy today. Missed by that much. But as for the game itself, that's not the National Football League. The reason why we're beginning one close Super Bowl after another is that's the league.
Of all the things that happened in this Super that could have happened with this Super Bowl, you know, all the talk about weather, all the talk about this, a blowout was probably the worst thing that could have happened for the NFL. And it was something nobody even considered would happen. I don't know anybody that was talking about a blowout.
No. Not one person talked blowout. Everybody thought it was going to be close. Nobody's talking about it being a dominant team and so forth. And you don't sit there and logically say before the game, a quarterback with 55 touchdown passes and setting all sorts of records. Now, in 2 weeks leading up, what's one part that nobody ever talked about? Ever. Name the one part of the game.
Special teams.
Nobody talked about special teams. The Broncos, guess where the Broncos ranked this year in kickoff coverage?
The way it looked in that game, dead last.
That is exactly where the Broncos ranked this year. The Broncos were 32nd in the NFL this year in kick coverage. 32. Now remember, it had no effect because the Broncos were constantly ahead. So who cares? They also kicked off more than anybody in the NFL this year, too.
Yeah, they've had a lot of practice.
But the average they gave up per? The average they gave up per was the highest in the league. And Percy Harvin took that second half back.
You know, they did the right thing by trying to kick it away, kick it around Percy Harvin. I won't say away, but they tried to kick it around him, so they popped it up, figuring coverage would get down there. Listen, even my son, who's a kickoff specialist right now in high school football, came watching that going, man, did they break their lanes in a hurry? He said, even I know not to do that.
Right. But again, that's not their bread and butter. They're not good at it. They're not good at it. And it's something nobody talked about. Now, we did talk about the Percy Harvin factor. Now, that we did talk about. That he could be a factor. And one of the things that you do, for example, and I talked about this on Friday, because you brought up Percy Harvin on Friday.
Right.
I said, well, you have to practice it. And I said, that's a good thing. Because it goes back to the old story with Rip Engel taking Penn State to the 1959 Liberty Bowl. Penn State had not been to a bowl game in 11 years. And so he called up Bobby Dodd at Georgia Tech because Georgia Tech had regularly been going to bowl games. He said, look, in fact, Rip Engel himself personally as a coach had never prepared a team for a bowl game. He said, how do I go about doing this? So they talked about practice schedules and things like this. And Bobby Dodd told him, he said, put in one trick play that you have to practice that you haven't worked on all year. He says, because that will then ratchet up the interest in practice. It'll get their attention. It'll be something different, something they have to learn, something they have to focus on and dial in on that will break up the monotony because of the distance between the end of the regular season and the bowl game. Well, for the 1959 Liberty Bowl against Alabama, the play that Rip Engel put in was a fake field goal with Galen Hall. And at a certain point, they decided in the game to use it, and Galen Hall took it in for a touchdown. And Penn State won the game 7-0. This goes back to the point we're talking about Percy Harvin. By getting him in the lineup, they ran jet sweeps and things like that, things they weren't really running before. Just from a pure interest point of view, that was a huge plus in terms of getting a team to dial in. Now you had a major weapon back, but you're also putting in a couple of plays that are a little bit different than what you had in before. Gets a team's interest right away, especially in a two-week span where there's not the monotony of running the same stuff over and over again.
And Steve, he got robbed from not getting MVP. That was highway robbery to me.
No, not really, because the two defensive plays were the two plays that turned the game around. Harvin put the game away.
Right.
But Smith made the two big plays when the game was a game.
I think the running plays, though, set the tone for what they were going to do, and that was everything.
Nah, because one of them set up a field goal. You know, I mean, despite everything, they were down only 8-0, you know.
Taking your calls at 800-795-9565. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Great to have you with us. Today's show brought to you by Purdy Insurance, Market Street in Sunbury. Go to purdyinsurance.com. When you serve the Valley for as long as the Purdy family has and you've given back the way they have, they are people you trust. Now, Dave Paulson, Bucknell basketball coach, is coming up at 4:06 today to talk about the Bison. Coming up on tomorrow's show, Penn State football coach James Franklin is going to join us at 4:06. On Wednesday's show, Tim Owen of Blue White Illustrated, Greg Pickle of Fight On State on recruiting. That's what we have coming up. And then Tim Van Oren on Thursday's show talking about Big Ten recruiting.
You know, last half hour I was talking about the MVP. And don't get me wrong, a defensive interception return for a touchdown is great. But I thought Percy Harvin definitely deserved this MVP.
And a fumble recovery.
And a fumble recovery, that's true. I'd forgotten about the fumble recovery, but what do you have, 124 total yards offense for Percy Harvin?
Well, he got 80. He got 88 in one play.
Right. He had two carries for 45 yards. Did he have a pass reception?
Mm-hmm. One.
I mean, that's some serious all-purpose yards. And I think the opening second-half kickoff, running it back for a touchdown, was literally the one that sealed the deal. And I think that's why I felt, personally, that he should have got... It got my vote, anyway, for MVP. And I think that's why I felt he should have gotten that.
You voted?
Of course I voted. What makes you think I wouldn't have?
I only vote when I have to.
Yeah, I know.
Sorry.
No, I knew you wouldn't vote. That's why I didn't bother sending you a text saying who you think you should vote for. Because I vote
7 times a year. May primary, November election, preseason All Big Ten for football, postseason Big Ten football, preseason Big Ten basketball, postseason Big Ten basketball, and the Wooden Award. After that, I don't vote for anything else.
I can't really argue with you there. I get that. Although I will say one thing. Smith did have, 10 tackles in the game besides those two. So I guess there's something to be said for it's unusual to see a defensive player win the MVP.
Yeah, Dexter Jackson from Tampa Bay was the last to win it when the Bucs won. It was the same kind of Super Bowl, too. You looked at that game and thought, well, who do you pick? Joe Jerovicius was a great pick. Would have been. Brad Johnson. I don't know. It's not easy.
I'm watching this game, and at the end of the first quarter, I'm thinking 8-0. Denver's done absolutely nothing. Did not have a first down. I don't even think had 10 yards of total offense at that particular moment. And they're down 8-0. I'm thinking, this is actually doable right now.
Well, of course it was. You're down a touchdown, for goodness sakes, essentially.
But you've done nothing.
Right. You've had a safety and 2-3 and outs, and you're down only 8-0. That's minimizing the damage about as much as you can minimize the damage of a situation like that. Although the 2-0 part, I thought of your team. Because the Steelers led Minnesota 2-0.
Yeah, so did I. Yeah. I had Tulane that same stadium. Thought. Yep.
Yeah, Tulane Stadium. Basketball yesterday as well. First of all, the Duke-Syracuse basketball game on Saturday night was just scintillating theater. 35,466 record at the Carry Dome. Goes to overtime. Meets all expectations. They won't have 35,466 at the entire Sochi Olympics combined, including the athletes.
I don't care.
There are more terrorists outside the perimeter.
I don't care. 3 days to go.
Are you going to watch the opening ceremonies?
Yeah, I am. I am. I'm going to record them and I'll watch them probably over the weekend. I don't watch them live. As I said earlier, I respect what Bob Costas does. I mean, usually, the man sits in a hotel room usually for 2 weeks before the Super Bowl, before the Olympics, and just studies every athlete. So he has at least something to say about every one of the countries coming in the parade of athletes. There's just some countries I just don't want to know about. I don't disrespect the athletes. It's just, all right, let's move along.
There are about 200 I don't want to know about. All right, that's why I live here. I've already figured it out. It's better here. So you'll record it and then watch it later?
Yeah, I'll watch it later in my own time. I'll actually record quite a bit of coverage. So I'll actually be getting recorded. I'll get recorded coverage of recorded coverage. It could be a day. It could be almost 48 hours before I get a chance to watch it. Well, some of the stuff they're going to do live, like they're going to have a lot of the hockey live, but it's going to be in the wee hours in the morning, and like the weekends we'll have some live coverage.
You have a lot of music in that computer, right?
In what computer?
The one that you have in front of you.
Yes.
Where you play the bumpers.
Yes, okay, yeah.
Why don't you come out of the 350 break playing Roy Orbison's Only
the Lonely.
All right. So that's the next big thing. But college basketball, Penn State's won three in a row. Beat Purdue yesterday. We're now seeing, and tomorrow night, by the way, the Penn State basketball show has been moved to Tuesday night because Penn State's playing at Michigan State 9 o'clock on Thursday night.
What, and if you had it on Thursday, you wouldn't be able to get your ribs? Is that what you're worried about?
Well, we're in East Lansing.
No, we're not here. I knew that. I know.
With the Nebraska game, we actually did the show, then a half hour went up the hill, and then did the pregame show for the next game. But because we're on the road, it's more difficult to do. And when you have a contractual obligation to a restaurant...
That's also something you want to hold up with, yeah.
You want to hold... Right. Instead of like, yeah, we're here at the lobby at the Marriott. Great. Okay.
We're here from the Steve Jones suite.
Actually, I did one in Charleston with the first half, Joe Paterno live. Second half, Kirk Kanasky, the assistant basketball coach in Charleston. Before the last game of the season with Michigan State. We got there early. I'd do it on Tuesday night. It was Thanksgiving week. Actually, no, we did it on Thursday. Something like that. And we did it. So we actually have done one like that on the road. And then, of course, we've always done the bowl ones live on the road. Lobby of the Rose Bowl, hotel, things like that. So we've done the, you know, we've done that before. But so that's, you know, we're going to do that this week. I have a letter jacket ceremony. I did the Penn State baseball team had an event with Mitch Williams. We had Mitch Williams on the show last week. He was great. He and Tom Verducci both. Tom Verducci from MLB Network and Sports Illustrated. Tom's a Penn State graduate anyway. He actually played on the Penn State baseball team. He had one season with Chuck Medler and then three with Shorty Stoner. And I said, yeah, we had a little overlap, Tom, in terms of what we did. I was in college at the time. I said, I was 2 years ahead of you. But and I said, in my senior year would have been your sophomore year, and I was doing Penn State baseball on college radio at the time. So I would have done some of your games. He says, well, he wouldn't have seen me. He says, I was in the dugout the whole time. So got some great Barry Bonds stories. Oh, good stuff. Not a nice guy. Wow.
I was never a huge fan, so it's not going to be bothering me.
Now, we haven't brought up the touchy subject of the day. We'll get back to basketball.
No, I don't want to bring that up. Just keep talking basketball. You'll be fine.
And we need to bring up the touchy subject.
No, we don't.
And that is the repeated failure of Jerome Bettis.
It's a travesty.
Okay, who would you put him in over?
You know what? It's not a point of who I would put in over.
You have to because there's only five slots. You have to tell me who you knock out to put in.
Well, anybody would be the first thing.
So he should be the number one vote getter.
I would be fine with anybody. I mean, I was okay with Strahan and Derek Brooks leading the class.
Yeah, and Walter Jones.
Williams, that was lukewarm there. That's probably the one I would have replaced.
I see. Okay. From an outsider's point of view, an objective point of view, as opposed to your obvious passion and prejudice.
Agreed. There is a lot of prejudice.
Yes. Okay. Let me outline Jerome Bettis's. His pluses are obvious. That's why he's in the top 10. All right. So can we at least establish that? Because he made the cut from 15 to 10. Okay. So all those pluses that put him in the top 10 are there. Now, when you're splitting hairs, now let's split hairs as to why he has a problem cracking the top five.
Oh, I got a good guess at what it is.
Number one is there are only five slots.
That's not what I was thinking.
That's a huge problem in all this. I don't like the fact. Now, on a Major League Baseball Hall of Fame ballot, the Baseball Writers Association are allotted 10 spots. You can vote for 10 guys. And many of the writers, Ian O'Connor as an example, do vote. This year he voted for 10 different people. He said he wanted to vote for 13. Now, it turned out three got in because you need 75% to do it. I know Roger asked me who the Pittsburgh representative was, and it's Ed Bouchette from the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette. He is the Pittsburgh representative. Each city gets one, including ones that no longer have franchises. For example, Los Angeles still has a representative. Right? So they have representatives. And there are 46 voters altogether. Several at-large, like Peter King for Sports Illustrated and so forth. You know, he doesn't cover a team, but he's an at-large voter. Ira Miller. Ira and I have a lot of conversations about the Hall of Fame. Ira's one of the voters on this thing, and Ira and I talk all the time because he always pops in the booth. He and Jack go back a long way, and in the process, Ira and I have become friends. So, so he's still an at-large voter. Ira worked very hard to try and get Ray Guy into the Hall of Fame. That was something that was very important to him. But Ed Bouchette is the Pittsburgh representative. Okay, so now let's get back to the numbers. Only five spots are available. In a league where you have 45 guys on a team, as opposed to 25 in Major League Baseball, they're allotting 10 for their Hall of Fame ballot. I think you need to have a couple more slots and get it up to 7 plus 2 veterans. And if there aren't 7 worthy, then there aren't 7 worthy. But I think you need to expand it by a couple. So I think that's one issue he has. All right? Now here's the next issue. His regular season numbers in terms of production are great. The 3.9 yards a carry would point it out is below the running back Mendoza line. But it does show durability, but still it doesn't show high-level consistent productivity when you're only 3.9 yards a carry. Okay. The next part is he's not productive in the pass game where he could do more damage. He had 200 career receptions. You take a guy like Curtis Martin, whom you've argued, if Bettis isn't in, he shouldn't be in. Yes. Martin has 284 more receptions, plus all the yards that go with it, in terms of production. And the final part is postseason. Not Super Bowl, which is one postseason game for him, but postseason in general. Name me the signature postseason Jerome Bettis had.
And that's where I would tend to agree with you. I think a lot of people are using that as a way to not put him into the Hall of Fame.
Well, not as a way. You're splitting hairs here at this point. Because Walter Jones doesn't have it. He's an offensive tackle, so you're not really looking at you got to just be darn good at your position for a long period of time.
Especially if you're going to be a lineman, to be in the Hall.
I mean, Derek Brooks had a defense built around his skills. I mean, what do you think Tampa 2 is? And why do you think they put Tampa 2 in? And why is it called Tampa 2? Because he had the ability as a middle linebacker to play that defense. And then when he got to the postseason, he was really good. And Andre Reed had a bunch of really good, productive postseason games. Memorable games in the postseason.
Yeah, I don't have any problem with that one either.
Michael Strahan had memorable postseason games.
Yep.
And who was it? Charles Haley didn't make it or did make it?
No. The other one was, you'd mentioned Walter.
Aeneas Williams.
That's the one that I felt could have been bumped for Jerome Bettis. Now, not that he's not worthy.
Yeah, he was one of the three or four dominant players at his position in his era.
Understand.
I think he had, 55 career interceptions. Again, Jerome Bettis was not. In his era, he is not one of the three or four defining backs. Highly productive, extremely durable, great personality. All right. But again, when you start adding up, okay, I mean, because the Steelers got into the postseason a lot, and what were they known for until they won that Super Bowl?
Not winning.
Coming up short, especially in home games. How many home games did they lose?
I've tried to forget.
But I'm saying a series of them, and not only that, but he wasn't... I mean, what the name the single most memorable thing he did in the postseason?
You're baiting me, because there is one, and I know you know it.
Yeah, it's the tackle he made in the Indianapolis game.
it's the fumble, yeah, that the ball that goes in the air, and Ben Roethlisberger has to make the game-saving tackle.
Game-saving tackle. I mean, that's, you know, I mean, he finally has a chance to do something. He blew it. You're going to get into this. The problem here is this. Okay, I'm going to tell you right now. Hold on a second here. And we're heading to the top of the hour. But I'm going to run something by you. Okay?
Okay.
And... All right. Oops. And I'm just going to give you a series of numbers. All right? And listen to these series of numbers. And when you hear them, all right, let's see here. I think I've got it here. And these will be baseball numbers, all right?
Okay.
The player I'm about to give you, in 22 years, at 2,715 hits, he had 498 doubles. A career batting average of .289. All right.
Okay.
Are those Hall of Fame worthy numbers? .289, 2,715
hits. 2,715
hits.
I would think it's probably close enough. Yeah.
How about worthy of discussion? How about that?
I would say worthy of discussion. I don't, you know, as you've said many times, it depends on who you're going up against that particular
right,
moment.
Right, exactly.
But okay. I would say this worthy of being discussed.
This player has no shot of ever making the Hall of Fame.
I think ever. I know who you're talking about.
It's Bill Buckner.
Bill Buckner, right.
Okay.
For one particular moment.
For a moment, and not only that, in the postseason, he was a .204 hitter. In his career.
And if you look, there's only a handful of players, just in hits alone, that were ahead of him. They were not
exactly.
I mean, literally a handful.
He has more hits than Babe Ruth and Ted Williams. Okay? More hits. 22-year career. Durable. Despite some of the injuries he had. By the time he turned around, one game after another, but he'll never get there. Okay? I think your guy gets there, but I think he gets there in a veteran's vote.
I was going to say, it's not going to be anything other than a veteran's vote, I don't think. Yeah.
Yeah. So. All right. I know we're heading to the top of the hour. Roger brought up something. You know, he was talking about Maxi Bond and some guys like that. There's certain guys that should be in the Hall of Fame in football that I am completely confused by. He pointed out to me Maxi Bond. Yeah, Maxi Bond should be in the Hall of Fame. I'd put him in before Claude Humphrey. But who knows? All right, we'll come back. Dave Paulson coming up next hour here on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
Attention residents of Central PA! The sub-zero temperatures are expected for at least another week, but Sunbury Motors is about to heat things up!
Sunbury Motors Kia. Sunbury Motors Kia is blasting through this cold winter weather.
Check out these hot deals.
22 of the snow-busted 2014 Sereno all-wheel drive midsize SUVs starting at $23,999. With up to $4,500 off and 0% APR financing available for up to 60 months. How about the all-new redesigned 2014 Kia Soul? 10 to choose from starting at $14,995. Or the 2014 Sportage LX, only $21,965. And every new Kia comes with a 10-year, 100,000-mile limited warranty. Sunbury Motors Kia helps you blast through the cold with these hot deals. Sunbury Motors Kia on the Strip at Hummel's Wharf and at sunburymotors.com.
All applicable factory rebates apply. Tax and tax extra must qualify. Specialty incentives apply. 0% financing through KMF will affect final price.
You just don't think about insurance. You buy a home. You take out a policy and you forget about it until something happens and you need it. Then you think about insurance a lot. My agent recommended insurance from Selective. Insurance for our home and property, jewelry, even the food in our refrigerator. Selective thinks about everything, so I don't have to.
Selective. Response is everything. Get to know us at Selective.com.
Get to know your local Selective agent. Purdy Insurance on Market Street in Sunbury or at PurdyInsurance.com. Find out what Purdy Insurance can do for you.
By the way, DJ Newbill, Big Ten Co-Player of the Week, deserves it. Had a great week. Nittany Lions have won three in a row. At Michigan State Thursday, home with Illinois Sunday. We'll talk Bucknell basketball next hour with Dave Paulson. Tomorrow, 4:06, James Franklin on the show. Tim Owen, Blue White Illustrated, Greg Pickle, Fight on State on Wednesday. Tom Van Huren on Big Ten Recruiting Thursday. Got a lot going on. Today's show brought to you by Purdy Insurance. Market Street in Sunbury. Go to purdyinsurance.com.